You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Well, we're starting, we're going to be starting a new series next Sunday, but we have one more that we just want to open up the year with. And Sheila and I today are going to tag team preach, and we're going to talk about vision, plans, and action. Vision, plans, and action. It's not enough just to have a vision or something like that for 2015, but we also have to back it with others. And you say, well, you know, is this a biblical concept? I believe it very much is. I want to look, start by looking at a passage of scripture where Jesus had a need. He actually had a need to pay his taxes. Even though Jesus was the Son of God and walked on the earth and he was God, he still lived as a man. He was 100% man and 100% God. And so there was a time where his disciple, one of them was asking, you know, do we pay our taxes? And so that's the context of this. And I'm going to read this scripture, and then I'm going to see the solution of how this vision or how this need was met. And it's found in Matthew 17, starting in verse 24. It says, when they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax went up to Peter, that was one of Jesus' disciples, and said, does your teacher not pay the tax? He said, yes. And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take toll or tax, from their sons or from others? And he said to them, from others. Jesus said to them, the sons are free. However, not to give offense to them, this is how we're going to pay our taxes, an unusual way. So go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you'll find a shekel. That's a early 2,000 year ago currency. And take that and give it to them for me and for yourself. So what we see here is 3 dimensions that I want to unpack here that we see in this scripture. Jesus had a need. He had to have these taxes paid. It was all of us have things in our lives that we want to do. Hopefully that we've had some time of reflection. I know many of you participated in a week-long Monday through Friday fasting and prayer time where your extra time of just reading the Bible or praying, trying to get a read and seeing what God would impress in your heart for 2015. That's like a vision. And what we learned last week, for those of you who were here, that unlike New Year's resolutions, which are sort of just something that pops into your mind and is totally dependent on willpower, and how many gym owners know that it's going to surge. You know, people who are faithful in the gym, they avoid the gyms in January and maybe a bit of February, and then they come back. Why? Because they know that all these New Year's resolutions, they're good for about 4 to 6 weeks, and then that's it. But what we're saying is that if you see God and when you're impressed from God with something on your heart, there is a faith and a strength that God gives you along with that word. That's what we looked at last week. But what I want to look at this week is not only kind of having that sense of the vision of maybe what you feel has really not just sort of something you made out or a wishful thinking, but really you're deeply convicted that this is a direction for your life. That's the vision. There's also more steps to it. There's also planning and there's also action. You know, it's very interesting. Peter and most of Jesus's disciples, what were they? What profession were they? Let's see, were they architects? Were they carpenters? Were they farmers? Were they? Did you know that the majority of them were fishermen? The majority of them were fishermen. And it's interesting to me that when Jesus wanted to fulfill something and a need in their life and take them to the next level, he actually employed their natural profession in it. See, a lot of times we think that if God's going to do something for us, then it's like he's just going to do it and we're not involved. Not so. God, generally speaking, now there are just supernatural things that sometimes he does, but usually he doesn't bypass the natural order. He combines faith with the gifts that he's given us, and together that is part of the plan of how God is going to fulfill the vision and the dream in your and my life. But not only that, they had to get up and they had to produce some action. So even though they had this vision, hey, you know, God's going to do this great thing. He's going to miraculously supply for us. He's going to do an amazing thing in my life this year. This is a great vision. And then he gives them a plan. But then it requires what? Action. He said, they had to get up And they had to pick up that net or the fishing rod, whatever they were using 2,000 years ago, and they had to get up and they had to go down to that water, and they had to, in other words, it's speaking of action, it's speaking of motivation. And what I found is that if we don't have all three going in your life, vision, plan, and action, then not much gets accomplished at all. This year we've said it's going to be the year of the Bible. We just want to declare that just to kind of have a theme for our entire church. I mean, every year should be the year of the Bible, but especially this year, we want to make an emphasis on the Bible. And we have a vision to do more Bible reading individually and as a whole church in 2015 than 2014, or hopefully even maybe than any of the other years. And why do we want to have that vision? Why are we doing that? We're doing that because there's many promises that even come from God's Word if we'll read God's Word on a consistent basis. Let's look at a few of these promises. The first one is Psalm 19, 7 through 9. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Another verse, I'm going to give three in succession. Psalm 119, verse 11. It says, "I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." And in Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So when we look at these scriptures, we see the promises of restoration, wisdom, joy and laughter, restraint, direction. You know, restoration. How many of you, I don't show your hands, but I know this as a pastor, as just someone who interacts with a lot of people. I know that there's a lot of days that come by where even where we may say we're down or even depressed. And God's word promises that it can lift us up. There'll be some mornings that we get up and we don't really even want to face the day. But God's word says, "As you hear my word, I will restore you. I'll bring restoration." What about our need for wisdom? You know, we can have a lot of knowledge, but a lot of knowledge that isn't applied, if it's not applied correctly, then we're not going to get where we need to go. We are in an information age where we have all kinds of knowledge, but wisdom is different. We can accumulate knowledge. Wisdom is the application of knowledge correctly, and we need that, and God's word will give us that. How many like me need some joy and laughter once in a while? I mean, really, I do. I mean, I live in Toronto. I used to live in the South. Now, in the southern United States, life is kind of slow. They talk slow, they walk slow, they drive slow, and you know, except for on the motor speedways and things. But I mean, just the style of life. But the more you go to a big city in an urban center, Toronto, New York, the bigger the city is, the faster the pace. And because of that, you can just like, it's just like, it can be so hectic. And it can actually get to you after a while. True little story here. Let me prove it. It can get to me, but I was on the bus just, Friday night we went over, I took the subway and then the bus over to one of the families at our house because we were doing part of our church was breaking the fast together in Scarborough. And so I got on the Royal York subway, which is way on the west side near where we live, and then went all the way to the end, the Kennedy, and then took a bus. And on this bus, it was absolutely packed with the commuters, you know, just coming home from Friday after their first week back. And lo and behold, it was packed. And this one lady sat down, a young girl, and then another girl sort of sat on her. And by accident, and they started fighting. I mean, they were yelling and screaming at one another. And this bus is absolutely jam-packed. I mean, you couldn't get another soul on this bus. And then the bus driver had to pull aside and said, "You guys get off the bus." They wouldn't get off. They said, "I'm calling the cops." And it was just all this drama, you know, and things. And then the other passengers were getting between them. But what it was it was just, you know, this life of ours. This life of ours, you know, it's like, you know, I have one nerve left and you're getting on it. You know, it's that kind of atmosphere, and we need something. I know we do. We need restoration, and we need some joy and laughter once in a while. And God's word can give it. And direction, that was the other thing, that there are many times where there's a fork in the road or crossroads. You know, some of you students, you know, it's, and I can say your life is easy because you think it's very difficult. It is difficult. There's a lot of exams. I understand. There's a lot of pressure and everything. But at least if you're in first year, you know what your next 3 years are going to be like. Once you graduate into the real world, you got to make real decisions then. I mean, you're making real decisions now. But for those of us who have graduated, there's even realer decisions. I mean, you've got to actually choose a job and you've got to move somewhere or take a job. Do I, you know, take this job? Oh, the only one is that's open up in my field is, you know, Northwest Territory. Should I take it, Lord? You know, I mean, there's all these decisions and you'll see, and it doesn't get any easier is what I'm saying. You think it's hard to choose your major. It's always difficult. And there's these times in life where, you know, do I move? Do I open a business? Do I close my business? What do I do? Do I change my career? And all these things. And we need direction. And God's word can give it to us. So there's all these promises. We sang a song based on one of the books of the Bible called Job. And it was one of the oldest books in the Bible. And it talks about his walk with God and how he had some ups and his downs, but he kept worshiping God. And God was good to him even through the high points and the low points. That's why that line, one line of the song, it says, he gives and takes away, but my heart will choose to say, blessed be the Lord. Because there are those times where there's highs, there's lows, but God is always faithful and he'll always bring you through. And may I remind you that at the end of Job, he was more blessed than ever. So it's not a sad book. It has some sad points to it, but that's life. I'd be lying to you if I said that life was just perfect. No, it's not. That's not the life that the Bible describes. The Bible describes a world that was started good, but a world where evil entered into it, and now they coexist. But Jesus has come to redeem, and one day it's all going back right. And that's the Christian hope. But Job in 23:12, he said this. He said, I esteem your word more than my necessary food. I just love that. I memorized that as a young Christian because I wanted that. I want to esteem God's word more than my necessary food. And so if we're going to get into the word in 2015, I gave you a bit of vision and a bit of reason, but we also need a plan and we need some action. And so I'm asking Sheila to take it up on this point two. What's our plan?
So I grew up not too far from here, well, about an hour. And I grew up in a house with a lot of Bibles. We had lots of Bibles. We probably had Bibles in almost every room and lots of different sizes and shapes and colors and some of them with the really cool pictures on the inside. But just because there were a lot of Bibles in my house didn't necessarily mean that anybody was reading them, but they were there. Like most Canadian school children, I received my first Bible in grade 5 from the Gideon's Bible Society. And they all kind of looked the same. I think mine was brown. It was a New Testament and Psalms and Proverbs. And there was a time in this country when every school child received one. Don't get me wrong, I didn't read that one either. I didn't really discover the Bible for myself until the summer that I was 15. And one of my best friends in high school and I went on this little kind of journey together. We decided we were going to read the Bible. And we took that summer and we started reading the books in the New Testament, where the stories that began telling about the life of Jesus and then the letters that Paul wrote to the church when the church was brand new. And my friend Janet and I, we'd say, okay, let's read Matthew. And we'd read Matthew and then we'd talk with one another about what we learned. And our eyes were opening and we were learning so much and we were being changed and it was exciting and it was really fun. And then she went on vacation with her family and it was back in the days when you wrote letters and put stamps on them. You had to lick the stamps. You didn't just pull them up. And so while she was on vacation, we would write letters to one another. And we would write things about things that, I didn't really know it at the time. I wouldn't have said it like this, but God was starting to speak to us out of the Bible, out of his word. And so she was on Georgian Bay with her family on vacation, and we'd write letters, and then she came home, and then I went to North Bay with my family on vacation, and we'd write letters back and forth, and we were reading through the New Testament when we were writing script. Sometimes a letter would just be all the scripture, the individual verses. It just said something to us. And it was the beginning of my own just diving in to the Bible, learning and growing and starting to understand things, and it was changing me. Years that followed, I read other things, not just the New Testament bits and pieces, not necessarily. That summer was probably the most systematic because we started it in the beginning of the New Testament. And I don't know if we made it to the book of Revelation. That might have messed with our minds a little bit. That's a little confusing. However, when you're 15, but it wasn't until after Bert and I were married, and we were married in 1985, almost 30 years ago, and it wasn't until after we were married, we took the challenge to try to read through the Bible in a year. Bert's aunt and uncle are, Bert's aunt and, oh my goodness, we need a bigger, Bert's aunt and uncle, his uncle passed away in the summer. He was 91. Bert actually got to go do his memorial service and when he was buried. But they were pastors. And in 1985, they developed their own little Bible reading guide. And it was a way to go through the whole Bible in a year. The other months are on the back. And they gave us to this, and they gave it to us in 1985. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't even think quite in 1985 we were brave enough to take the challenge. Because, you know, when somebody says, I think I'm going to read through the Bible in a year, your greatest fear is that you won't do what you think you said you were going to try to do, right? So it probably took us a couple of years. In fact, I think it took us till about 1987 where we looked at one another and said, okay, this is the year. Let's do it. And let's do it together. So each of us had one of these, and we had it tucked inside our Bible. And every time, I like check marks. I like a little checklist. So every time we'd read a day, each of us, we'd tick it off. And then, you know what? For about 3 years in a row, I did it. And I'd tick it in different colors. I still have it somewhere. I wish I could have found it to show you, but it wasn't quite that simple from the first one I ever did. But we did it. We took that year and then the next year and the next year, and we read through the Bible, a New Testament, an Old Testament book, a New Testament book, back and forth. And pardon me while I find my notes. I don't think I need this page anymore. And then I'd like to say that for the next 30 years, I was that dedicated to reading my Bible, but I won't mislead you. But a couple of years ago, I got my first smartphone. And when I got my first smartphone, somebody told me about the YouVersion app. Jay was referring to it. And I thought, I'm going to download this app and I'm going to try it again and I'm going to read my Bible through in a year. And so I did it. And the nice thing about it is it tells you, congratulations, you finished a day. Congratulations, you finished day 293. Congratulations, you finished day 294. Because all of us need a little positive reinforcement sometimes. And so, you know, we're talking about having a plan. In 2015, we've declared it's the year of the Bible. You know, the interesting thing is some of my different Facebook friends, I told Bert the other day that some church planters, people who are starting churches in Regina, I saw that their church has decided that this year, 2015, is going to be the year of the Bible in their church. And I thought, oh, this isn't just us. This is happening. We're starting to hear rumblings that, hey, maybe it's time we take some serious time to look into this book, to read it like we've never read it before, to look at one another and say, let's do this. Let's dive in and do this. Let's hold one another accountable. Let's read together so we can talk and share the things that we're learning like Janet and I did so many years ago. So we want to give you some plans and some options and encourage you and encourage one another. We get on your smartphone, pull it out now. If you don't have the YouVersion app, pull out that phone and go to your app store and type in YouVersion. And hey, you're one step ahead of me here because I was going to go back one. There we go. Type in YouVersion and oh, see, mine's already installed. So when I did, so. And install it. Don't uninstall it. Or take out your iPad or your tablet or your computer or take out that paper Bible that's collecting dust under your bed. And let's make this year the year of the Bible. Let's be determined to read more this year than what we've read before. So here's the one, that ESV one. So ESV, now you can go to the next one. ESV is the English Standard Version. It's a relatively new translation of the Bible. Of course, the original documents the Bible was written in, they were Greek and Hebrew. And over the centuries, scholars have taken those documents and translated them and updated the translation. So the ESV is a new translation, and it's the one, my actual paper Bible. Mine doesn't get dusty because I keep it in a box. I have an ESV paper Bible, so I thought, well, that's the app I'm going to do, the ESV Bible. And so I downloaded this, and I'm doing it again this year. But, you know, maybe that seems overwhelming to do all 66 books of the Bible. That's how many there are, 66 individual books. So here was another one I found. Now flip to the next one. This one's the First Steps Reading Plan. You know, if you've never, okay, let me back up a second. On your YouVersion, I think there's like 1,000 choices of plans to read the Bible. You might just decide, I'm going to read one thing. I'm going to read the book of Matthew. Well, you can go on your YouVersion app and you can find however many days you want to commit to read. So this one's called, what is it called? First Steps Reading Plan. You know, if you've never opened that Bible and read it, this is a great starting point. It's going to give you a little bit of Genesis and a little bit of Matthew and a little bit of Exodus and a little bit of Mark. And it's going to take you bit and a little, a proverb and a psalm, and just give you a taste. You know, there's a scripture that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And we're not going to eat the paper or lick the, but we're going to taste of some of the things of who God is as we read the Bible this year. There's lots of other plans. Some of them just take you through the New Testament. Lots of things available to us. But let's decide, this year together, let's read more than we ever have before. Perhaps you like paper. Perhaps you don't have a smartphone, an iPad, or a computer. I have these 52-week Bible reading plans on a piece of paper. I went online. I thought, I bet you can still get paper Bible reading plans, even in the 21st century. So I have 10 of these. After, you can all mob me if you just want a piece of paper to read through your Bible in a year. But let's be committed together. Let's take a step. Read more this year. Study more of God's Word this year than you ever have before.
Sounds like a plan. Well, that brings us to our last point, which is action. I've heard one time that vision minus a plan minus action is a pipe dream. But vision plus a plan plus action equals reality. I want to conclude by something that really speaks to this thing of action. Why don't some things get done that we think we would really like to do? And I want to conclude on the subject of priority. And I'm going to have an illustration here. Maybe if I can get Romy and Jay to move this up for me. I was just going to go over here, but then the people over here aren't going to be able to see very well. But on this table is a big glass cylinder and these 5 large rocks. And so I just thought, for the conclusion, I would turn these rocks into bread. But I decided I would resist that temptation. But so these rocks represent the most important things in your life, the things that you say are the most important things in our lives. There's many things that are like this, that we say, this is the most important thing, these are the priorities for my life, but for some reason, they don't get done. And I want to tell you why. this. These are small rocks. It's actually salt rocks, but in any case, these are all the things in our lives that we say aren't as important, but there's a lot of them to do. You know, maybe one of them is check my Facebook. You know, I say that it's not important. I say doing my studies first is important. But here's what happens in life. Invariably, most of the time, and this container is our life. Or maybe it's the amount of time that we have in a day or in a week. And if we take all, if we say that we have these rocks and that we say they're really important in our lives, and then we say we have all these other things that we have to do but maybe aren't as important, here's our tendency. Our tendency is to take all the little things, all the little rocks of our life, and we put those into our life. And when we get kind of about here, we go, oh yeah, I've got some rocks that I've got to deal with. But, you know, I've got to just check my Facebook one more time. Here we go. Okay. Oh man, I got to do these important things. Oh dear. Ah! I can't get them in. I can't fit them in to my life. I've said that these five things are the most important things for 2015. So what's the solution? There's only one way to do this. And I'm not saying don't do the little things as well. What if we take these important things in life that we say were important and we put them into our life first? Then we take the lesser important things. In fact, I can put some more. I got all the important things done, and many of these other things too. I can actually go and check my Facebook now. Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, Revit, YouTube, a nap, extra time. But look at that. When we put the things in that are really priority in our life first, then we can always fill in with everything else. But if we fill our lives with everything that isn't important, we find that the things that we say are important in our life, they stay on the outside and get left undone. So maybe I can have you guys take this off to the side again. Maybe and give our two ad hoc ushers a big hand for this illustration. Here's what Jesus said in conclusion about action. He said in Luke 6:46, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, I'll show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood rose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." The man who hears and does not do is building their life without a foundation, and one day will pay the price for that. It's not if the flood and if the rains come in life, it's when. It's when. And are we going to have a life that's strong and solid so that when those things come against us, we can say, no, our life is on the rock. Why? not because we heard some of the words of Jesus, but because we obeyed the words of Jesus. Action is critical. Action is critical. And I hope that individually and as a church, we're going to close out 2015 and say that we read God's word more than we had ever had before. And it helped us. We took action because it actually is a command to listen to the voice of God. And how do we listen to the voice of God? By reading his word, by listening to his word. Let's bow in prayer as we conclude and commit this to God. Father, we thank you for this word that you have given from your word. But just, first of all, we just want to thank you even for the Bible, that, Lord, we have your words. There's many even in this world who don't have the privilege of all those Bibles in every room, or maybe they don't have a smartphone that they can't just download it like we can. We have access, and we're thankful and grateful. And so would you help us now? We know we can't do this alone. We know that there's a God part. You have to strengthen us. You have to give us help here in ourselves. We are weak. There's so many things that we say we're going to do, and then we don't do them. So we ask, God, for your strength, though, so that when we say we're going to do something, that we'll know that your power is with us, strengthening us and helping us and reminding us to follow through. And we just thank you for your grace and your goodness in this area. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.